An unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect Dharma is rarely met with, even in 100,000 million kalpas. Having it to see and listen to remember and accept, I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words.
Good morning. So, Bendo Wa, a talk on the wholehearted practice of the way. He says, according to the unmistakably handed down tradition, the straightforward Buddha Dharma that has been simply transmitted is supreme among the supreme. From the time you begin practicing with a teacher, the practices of incense burning, bowing, ninbutsu, repentance, and reading sutras are not at all essential. Just sit, dropping off body and mind. When one displays the Buddha mudra with one's whole body and mind, sitting upright in this samadhi, even for a short time, everything in the entire Dharma world becomes Buddha mudra, and all space in the universe completely becomes enlightenment. Whole body and mind is literally body, speech, and mind, this footnote says. We talk a lot about shikantaza, and that's what it sounds like he's talking about. Simply sitting, only sitting, just sitting, dropping off body and mind. And when they drop off, that's jijuyu sanai. I started to say that's the effect of shikantaza, the result of shikantaza, but I'm not sure that that's a useful way to talk about it or think about it. It makes it very sort of thingifies it all. And jijuyu samai, self, what is self-receiving, self-enjoying, self-expressing or something, samadhi. It's something you do and not something that you really can talk about, but I'm talking about it anyway. You experience it, and it's different from the way we talk about shikantaza because it uses the word self. Self-receiving. And at least, and I have not seen any translations that use a capital S for self. So jijuyu sanmai includes what we sometimes call the small self, or I sometimes loosely call the ego. And that small self includes everything. That's what the kind of thing that Uchiyama talks about when he says, you include everything and you don't come into something that's already going along. It's born with you and dies with you. There's this theater going on. I guess there's this theater going on in my head and you have one in yours. Or maybe it's also in your body. Yeah, it's in your body too. And it's the trouble with words is they're limiting. As you know, I say this, there's one of Katagiri's books is called You Have to Say Something. So you, your small self, me, my small self, is my expression in this moment of the whole Dharma. And when we sit in jijuyu sanmai, we let go of our grip on that. We are wholehearted in our embrace of the, you can't embrace. We're wholehearted in our expression of the universe and beyond. We're just simply sitting and simply allowing. We're not any longer interfering with, trying to grasp after, trying to avoid, trying to control. And we sometimes dissolve into the whole. There's a sense of dissolving into the whole. there is a joy to that. There is a playfulness. And that enabling you to disport freely like a dolphin in the water. I just listened, I thought there's the Beatles song, Come Together. And I was thinking that there was some words about, you know, I am you and you are me and we are we and who are what. And it turns out it's not that broad. And so I didn't use it. And it's also, I love that song. And it's very weird. It's like, was it, he has a toe jam football. Or you've got feet below his knees. Anyhow, what do you say about this? Buddha said that all beings, that when, you know, when he sort of woke up from his samadhi, his night of enlightenment, and when he said, I together with all beings am now enlightened. When we sit zazen, I together with all beings sit zazen. I don't know it. It's not my experience. Sometimes I can have an experience of dropping off body and mind, I think. I don't know what Dogen meant exactly. I mean, I could give you a lecture about it, but you cannot, as Uchiyama used to say, you can't exchange so much as a fart with another person. So I don't know exactly what Dogen's experience was, but I certainly know sitting without entanglement, just sitting, as I often say, not I'm sitting, but just sitting. And I've experienced something Norman calls zooming out into the universe. But if it is true, as I believe, that the Dharma includes everything, then it's got to include my small self. Something is reminding me to sit up straight. Something is reminding me to keep my head up. I have a tendency to have to bow my head, not to fall forward all the way. I don't usually fall asleep during zazen. When you really do fall asleep and your head falls forward and your back slumps. But my chin just comes down a little way, and I notice that there's just a little incline to my head, and I have to set it back up on top of my spine. Something has to remind me. Something notices. And that's, I think, that's the small self doing its job. And if I can do that and just do it, not tell myself about it, not tell myself, oh, for God's sake, would you please sit up straight? Whatever. Just do it without comment. That's the small self doing its job. And not interfering, not engaging, not entangling. And the joy, I think, is partly when you sit like that, when there's just sitting. The self is also receiving, in the sense that your zazen is giving to the universe. And the universe is also, and I'm just saying universe or universal or all or whatever word, I'm just saying universe. It's not limited to any universe. I know. But it's a word that will do. Anyway, the self is receiving that from the universe, receiving energy, receiving support. It's reciprocal, it's circular. And you certainly are receiving support from the other bodies in the room. And all the bodies who have sat in a zendo, and the ancestors. But it's more general than that, I think. Maybe it's like floating on salt water. You know, salt water supports you better than fresh water. You're more buoyant. Or it feels like you're more buoyant. I guess you're the same, but it supports you better. And then the dolphins come. If I've been watching too much news, I sometimes watch YouTube videos, little short ones, and there are a lot of ones about dolphins. I do that to sort of change the subject. Sometimes I get caught and I do it for a long time, but usually not. It's really, it's important to include yourself. Tell me what you think of this when we, I'm going to open it up in a minute, but it's important to include yourself. You know, so often when we say everyone, we mean everyone out there, and we don't include this one here. I just did a lecture up in Sacramento, and there were, I don't know, at least 30 people there. There were some people on the screen that I couldn't see. Maybe there were probably more than that. But at any rate, I asked them to do, I was talking about kind speech, and I said, look around and just pick out some people and think something nice about them. Look at them, that, and you may know 5 or 10 people here, you may know nobody. So just pick out people in the room and think something nice about it. Close your eyes and think something nice about each one. And they did that and they liked it, blah, 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 blah. And then I said, did any of you include yourself? Not one. And I did it years and years, a long time ago, at Tassajara. And I was talking about the 7th precept, not praising self at the expense of others, and talking about not losing it costs you. If you praise yourself, it costs you others. And I don't remember how I got there, but I did there, of course, everybody knew each other. It was the middle of a practice period. And I said, okay, look around the room and just say something nice about each person to yourself, And again, nobody had included themselves. We forget to include ourselves. But self-receiving and self-enjoying samadhi, what Mel called the king of samadhis, has to include the self. It's just not the big beach ball self that we usually carry around to protect our guts and ourselves, our ideas of ourselves. It's quite inflated with our ideas of ourselves. Not that. You can deflate that. Do it gently. I said this fantasy of if you undid whatever the thing was that you used to blow up the beach ball, if you just undid it, it would take off like a balloon and it would be big. So slowly, anyway, deflate it. And it should be about the size of a cantaloupe, just off to the side here, reminding you to sit up straight. What would that be like? So what Okamura and Taigen Layton say, Jiju Zanmai is literally the samadhi of self-receiving or accepting its function. There you go. Or samadhi of self-enjoyment or self-fulfillment. So when we sit dropping off body and mind, the self can relax and shrink down to that cantaloupe size. And enjoy life. Enjoy its functioning. Not separate from the larger self. Just smoothly functioning. Doesn't matter if it's a hard time or an easy time. Still just functioning, and there is joy in that. Self-joyous samadhi, but not the kind of, not sex and chocolate joy. Those are not to be dismissed. However, not that kind of, wowee, but something deeper. Your turn.
I have more a comment than a question. Response to the exercise of look around the room and think nice things about what you see. At first, you've mentioned this exercise a few times, and in some part of my mind, I'm saying, yeah, but that's not exactly fair because the exercise is look around, and when you look around, you see other people.
I knew you were going to do that.
Yeah. And then, well, I'm finally saying something because
yes.
I realized that when you look around, you actually see some part of yourself too. So that is exactly, I finally realized that's exactly the problem that you're pointing out, that why take that instruction to mean don't look around and see yourself too and say nice things? Why do people interpret it like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's the best I can do because you can't, you can't, you don't want to say it in a way that triggers people including
yeah.
themselves. So, you know, so thank you. Yes. Yes. And people did, some of the people there on last Sunday night did pick nits. But it just helps you get it, you know. Yes.
You made me think of Stuart Smalley.
I don't know who
played
that is.
By Senator
Al Franken.
Al Franken,
oh.
Where he said in the mirror and he'd say, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. That was like his self-affirmation, I think. Something like that.
That's a good self-affirmation.
Yeah.
Oh, is that
a comment?
Yeah, it's true of him. Except I bet Senator Cruz doesn't like him, but anyway. Liam, do you have anything to?
Nothing's really coming to mind. I enjoyed the talk, and I'd always kind of hearing things again makes it a little bit clearer. Some ways in those distinctions.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's hard to, as soon as I start to open my mouth, every word I start to use, I think, well, no, you can't say it that way. But I have to say, but it's hard to grasp. I refuse to say grok. So that's actually a useful notion. But at any rate, the grasp, the fact that I'm me and I'm it. I don't usually go around having a sense of that. And when I've had a sense of that, I think it informs me, but it's not like it's available all the time. Right this minute, I don't have it. You know, I know intellectually that's the case, but I don't know it in my mind. And was it Zhaozhou? Somebody said, you know, he said, look, if I were there in that state of being the universe or whatever, of ultimate samadhi or something, you couldn't hear me. So it's hard to remember that it's not it's not one and it's not two.
As the lock outside says. So I have a question. I love the concept of the universe and what we practice, but I'm not 100% sure what it means. Does it just mean the infinite or everything, including everything? Or is there something more or less cosmic than that? What does the universe mean?
What do you think it means? What is your sense of it?
My sense of it is it's like includes everything. And therefore it's gigantic.
Well, I think again, the trouble is talking about it because it includes everything, but they're not things is the problem.
Yeah.
And how can you talk about it without things? But so it is, I guess it's infinite. It's bigger than I could conceive. It's not because now we know there are a bunch of universes. So the universe of universes, I don't know. But, you know, you could maybe think of it as energy, I guess. But it's emptiness. It's that flowing and connection that's inchoate. I love that's a two-bit word that I like.
Yeah, I see it connected to emptiness.
Yeah.
Or is a variation on the theme.
Yeah.
Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it.
Thank you.